Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Welcome to the Initiative Radio Network. Tonight we will be listening to our dear beautiful sister, student minister, Abel Muhammad, for the first hour. And if we have any questions, submit it, and then, you know, we will possibly answer those. But right now we're going to listen to the sister and hope that you enjoy the show. Thank you so much.
Welcome to another show, my dear brothers and sisters. I am so excited about this show because we are streaming live all over the entire world. I don't care where you are. You can go to crowtv.org, Ustream, and you can talk to us. I have student minister, national spokesman for the Nation of Islam, and Brother Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Absolutely.
Okay. I know you have lofty titles. I know one thing, you did a fine job at the second Million Man March. I know that.
The Justice Sorrell's 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Why did I call you? Well, you know, what can I say? I was at them both. But it's right. Good to have you here. And it's been a long time. We were kind of reminiscing since we sat down to talk live. But in the interim, your longevity certainly has its place. And you've endured, you've been around. But for people who don't know, may have lived in Spain, even though you probably were known there too, tell the people a little bit about Sister Abel Muhammad. I mean, you're an attorney. You know,
yes, sir.
By profession, of course.
Yes, sir.
And I know you're originally from New York, is that right?
Actually, I came into the Nation of Islam in New York City, but I was born and reared in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh,
yes.
I've been giving you an East Coast accent, and you adopted that.
When you went
to school in New York?
No, I actually went to one of the profound, powerful HBCUs, State University.
Oh, I know what Central
State is. In Wilberforce, Ohio. And from there, I went to Georgetown University Law School in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And then upon graduating from law school, I took the New York bar exam, was admitted in New York, went into the Queens District Attorney's Office as the first black female assistant DA.
So you were a prosecutor?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So it was never that desire to become on the other side. I guess you're a defense attorney now because you...
Oh, well, I utilized the district attorney's office.
Okay.
To develop my trial litigation skills.
Okay. But you were never naive to the fact.
No, I was already a defense lawyer when I heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Oh, okay. Yes. And so you continued down that road.
Yes.
Because let me say this. One of the things that I thought was outstanding, and I don't know if people remember this, but during this defamation suit,
you know,
the propaganda machine is really something, isn't it?
It's very powerful.
And I thought you had overwhelming evidence. And I don't know if you recall this, but as they were trying to accuse the minister of having something to do with...
Absolutely killing Malcolm X.
And the little booklet that I had, you utilized that too. And, I mean, it was clear they didn't even mention the minister during that time.
Correct.
And then they bring him up, but... Yeah, well, what do you see as fast forwarding now? You have your own radio show and you speak around the country.
Yes, sir.
You're in demand and you hear the media today. I mean, does it makes you realize more and more the value of black media, and especially the Final Call, because I don't know anybody else is talking internationally and our plight of what goes
That's
on,
correct.
Because other than that, we wouldn't know what's going on about ourselves with this regurgitation of what they give us every day.
Yes, sir. And first of all, let me thank you, Brother Munir, for having me on the program, and thank you again for your incredible work.
Thank you.
And you yourself are an icon in the black community and beyond. But we know media, from the term medium, is a tool in this day and time of the multinational corporations which control the United States and the world. As Minister Farrakhan taught us many years ago, the U.S. government was hijacked by multinational corporations. And so there's very little in terms of available channels through which one can hear the truth. And as you correctly stated, the Final Call newspaper is the only completely black, independently owned newspaper publication in this country that, of course, is not bridled or restrained by advertising dollars. It's supported by its readership.
You know, as I listen to you, and I love to hear you talking, not just the East Coast, but you conjugate verbs quite well. I like that. But our brothers and sisters, if you want to talk to our dear sister, she's going to be with us the entire time, and you can call her at 773-434-6625 or 434-6631. And, yes, she's going to do a radio program as soon as she's finished, WBON. How long have you been on the radio now?
Going into 3 years this month, believe it or not. I had to stop myself and realize how much time has passed, because this is 2016.
Now, you mentioned Justice Elston, 10,000 fearless black men and women. I've been watching around the country. But, you know, help me to give me a bit on the inside. You know, you hear all the propaganda that's going on. Okay, all of us got together, but what are we doing? And you know all the things that's going on, but the propaganda machine is not going to advertise what's going on in the nation. In fact, it was, if it had not been for the social media, I mean, the mainstream press never spoke of the Justice of Us movement.
Yes, sir.
So what does that tell us, that what we can do?
Well, the beauty of it is what you just indicated, the availability to us of the social media platforms, but even more profound than that is the love of our young people for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the message that he brings, called affectionately the Joshua generation. And of course we know Joshua in the Old Testament was given leadership to guide the children of Israel into the promised land, because the elders were cowardly and afraid. And many of them actually wanted to go back to Pharaoh. And we suffer that same syndrome among so-called Negroes today, who have a vested interest in the continuing life of the United States government as we know it, which is based in white supremacy. And as a result of that, sadly, tragically, we have many of our people who are willing to sell out our children's future so that they can have a little income, a little stature. Pharaoh promised the enchanter's nearness to him to mislead the people. And we have that among us. We have people that just want to
be
close to Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, et cetera. And so our young people, however, this is the first generation we've produced that is completely disconnected from the desire to please the slave master or his children. And as Minister Farrakhan has said, they are fearless, but they are not wise. And so they are in need of guidance and direction, and he provides that, and they love him for it. And there are two things that the Nation of Islam possesses, as you know, that no one else has, and that is we are in and among our people. We are not coming to our people from some faraway place, showing up and then leaving,
right,
or using our people to get votes or for some other reason. But this is who we are, the black community, the so-called hood. And as the minister has correctly characterized us and revealed to us what we really are, is a colony, a cluster of colonies. And so what he is saying is we have to start from within and make our own neighborhood where we live a safe, decent, clean place to live. We can now break free from this desire in us that integration produced, where we're seeking nearness to white people just for the sake of being near them, as though we can't live in beautiful, safe, decent communities ourselves.
Now, are you being received on the college campuses these days? Are you? I know you go to various mosques, but people are seeking to hear from you.
Most of the speaking that I do, when I go into cities and speak at our mosque, I was just in Charlotte, North Carolina last weekend, San Diego, California, just before that, our community gatherings, town hall meetings, where we have, for example, in San Diego, the Native American brothers and sisters, the Latino brothers and sisters, and of course our youth are becoming increasingly vocal. And represented. You see that in Black Lives Matter. You see that in the Nation of Islam. We have a brother in Charlotte, North Carolina, Sabir Muhammad, who's 14 years old, and yet he has that elder wisdom. You know, back in the day, when a baby was born, the elders would say, oh, he's been here before.
Yes, sir.
So with the minister's appearance twice, on the Breakfast Club, that really exposed our young people to this man who the media has worked so relentlessly to hide and to disconnect.
See, that's what makes you so important, because you understand the language.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you can have information. If you can't convey it, then you might as well not have it. And you
do
that quite well. I know I visited Atlanta with our dear brother Abdul Sharif, and I had an opportunity to see him working with the preachers, and and they just opened up the restaurant the other day, and I thought I had some of the footage, but it was so remarkable how they gave way to him. In fact, they even treat him like one of the ministers. He works so well with them, and I just really enjoy myself. And, you know, we think of ourselves in terms of a coalition. But I've noticed that when the minister called for the 10,000 fearless men and women, unfortunately, that next day when he spoke to them, I was coming back to Chicago. But I've seen the work of the 10,000 fearless black men. I also had Minister Robert on. And I'm going to have Tony on. Of course, I'm talking to you. And, you know, and I just think people need to hear more of what's going on, you know, the acquiring of farmland, all of these things that we may have missed because, you know, no one is holding a press conference from the other side praising this effort, you know, seeing the young brothers and sisters in the Nation of Islam thinking about farming again, you know, going to the earth and being able to see some of the products that's being produced. I mean, it's a remarkable thing, but if you on the outside, our people feel that, you know, they're not involved. But as you say, when you have brothers and sisters on the ground who are actually going out working with these people, it's giving us a better reputation among our people. And the fear factor is already gone. All they need
is a direction.
That's right.
Yes, and Brother Sharif, I was able, along with my husband, to visit the Bluff, which is the what they call that area, one of the highest rates of heroin
Boone Avenue,
sales. Yes, and what he and the brothers and sisters did there in conjunction, following the directives of Minister Louis Farrakhan, the local organizing committees, which did so much work to make the Million Man March successful and overwhelming success, as well as the 20th anniversary of the Million Man March. Because, as you noted, without any press coverage from mainstream media. And in fact, Minister Farrakhan would not talk to and through mainstream media. And the call he made was, meet me at the steps of the Capitol, but don't come unless you're willing to die for this cause. He didn't offer entertainment, money, anything of that nature. And yet and still, people from all walk of life came. But what Brother Sharif did there is the brothers and sisters purchased a house on this street that was neglected, the typical deteriorating condition of any black community in America and around the world. And they bought this little house and they fixed it up. And the little yard, which is no bigger than this studio, they landscaped it, they planted flowers, they painted, and they instantly changed the appearance of that yard. And then they went to the next door house.
And painted it up.
Knocked on the door, would you like us to help you paint this house? Really? Why? Because we want the community to improve.
And I think also what's beautiful about that is directly across the street from a large church, and as I say, there are pastors that's involved. I interviewed quite a few of them. Brothers and sisters, I can talk to a sister all day, but I know you want to talk to her, so I'm going to give you that opportunity again, 773-434-6625, 773-434-6631. Sister, you have your own radio show. The topics of, killing and shooting down unarmed black men.
Yes.
I know the brother that Robert did his funeral, Alton, I think.
Alton Sterling. Yeah. Yes, in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, when they showed the pictures close up on the final call, both this man's hands were occupied.
Yeah, and the police were literally sitting on top of him.
And he
was immobile.
Yeah.
He was completely immobile.
But I'm saying only, and I don't know if our people really could talk about it enough, but I think the photograph clearly showed this, and the audacity of the people, saying you're rushing to judgment. But this is not every now and then. This is the norm, it seems to be.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad made a statement, Allah will make you separate.
Yeah.
That statement to black people. This is what's occurring. When Minister Farrakhan was on Cliff Kelly last year in preparation for Justice or Else, he stated on the airwaves in June that black people are under chastisement because of our rejection of God's plan for our salvation. Well, what is his plan? His plan is separation. Mm. After nearly a half millennium of seeking to assimilate and to prove ourselves worthy of people that kidnapped us, raped us, murdered us, and we built this country, we are responsible for the majority of its wealth, and yet and still, when a black man is elected to the Oval Office, it drives them to the point of insanity because of the color, simply because of the color of his skin. And so we were told by the minister, we were under chastisement, and he said on Cliff Kelly, it will get worse. Mm-hmm. 7 days later was Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you're saying, Brother Munir, it's the norm. We're just now, because of technology, able to see on video. We saw what happened to Sandra Bland.
Right.
We saw what happened to Eric Garner. We saw what happened to Walter Scott in South Carolina with our own eyes.
Right.
And it's almost like that joke, don't believe what your lying eyes are telling you. Brother Paul O'Neill this past week, a teenager, yes, it is wrong to steal a car. We all know that. But as a lawyer, I've never seen where car theft or when it's white males, it's called joyriding.
Right.
I've never seen where the penalty for taking a car is death.
Right.
And when you hear the language and the conversation
right.
of the police after shooting this 18-year-old in the back, he's lying on the ground, handcuffed.
Right.
You pointed out Alton Sterling, Philando Castile
right.
in Minnesota in the presence of his
right.
4-year-old right. child shot to death in the car after doing everything he could to comply.
Right.
And then, of course, the mental health care worker
right.
in Florida who is trying to assist
right. Right.
a yeah. patient who even a blind person could see the man was holding a toy truck. They get a call, armed man, but when you arrive at the scene, the call becomes moot, does it not?
Right, right.
You look at what you're seeing in reality. And this man, knowing the recent history of shootings, lays flat out on
yeah,
the ground,
yeah.
hands up in the air, I'm not armed, and he was shot. And so later in the hospital, he asked the officer, why did you shoot me? The response was, I don't know. Mm. Well, that tells us this is genetic.
Right, right. The
See,
nature.
It's in my name. That's yeah. why he said, I don't know. Any more than a bear. A bear cannot analyze for you why he claws you and mauls you, and
right.
then, or a lion or a shark explain to you why. This is just what I do.
Yeah. You know,
okay.
it's amazing. Our brothers and sisters, we're talking
amazing.
To Sister Ava. And we hope that you would call her. I know it's something that you want to discuss with her. I mean, I can talk to the rest of the show if you like. But is it something that you want to make sure, Ava? You know, this is the time of the show that
yes,
you
sir.
Say, you know, I didn't want to blow it. In fact, I heard you teach it one day. You said, I didn't want to blow it. I better get to it. So you got a lot of hip talk here. So share with us something that you wanted to make sure you convey to the audience anywhere on the nerve
yes.
about today.
Yes, I want to convey this point. Thank you for that.
Cool.
You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad stated, I will be the winner regardless.
Right.
We know if we are students of the Bible, if we are students of the Holy Quran, and if we are people of reason, we know that God's judgment is on America.
Yeah.
We also know that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad placed the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in his seat as his national representative. I'm imploring everyone to accept Allah's choice and to accept his guidance in this hour.
Mm-hmm.
Because Master Farid Muhammad came here to save us. This really is not our fight. This is Allah and Satan's
that's
fight.
Right, that's right.
What
yeah,
we were
yeah.
given and have been given is the opportunity to be saved. So that's the message.
You know,
like.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, and say, Master Farid Muhammad envisioned him destroying this man. In fact, in the lake of fire,
yes.
he was going to push him in there himself. And which brings me to the birth of a Savior, the true history of Jesus, brothers and sisters, where you can. Get it from the final call. You'll be seeing that soon. You know, my sister, when I think about this day and time, it really concerns me that people seem as though the propaganda machine, you know, as much as we say is not working, subliminally, they seem to have an effect on our mind as far as implementing things, you know.
Right.
For example, you mentioned the guidance of the minister. Just the other day in Baltimore, it was underwater. I mean, it's one thing to be shooting and killing people. Now, Baltimore, imagine this. And then another part of the country right after that. So the weather, everything that was
yes.
spoken about
yes.
in Fall of America is happening.
Yes, it is.
But
the dollar.
Yeah, the dollar is
declining
the dollar. So, and everybody... they recognize these things, but it's almost as if they just don't know what move to make. And as I say, if it would not be for the final call, internationally speaking, talking about the global things that's happening, we'd be stuck on Donald Trump, you know,
yes,
who
sir.
Can say anything that he wants, even though they're now saying that he's not fit to be president. We want to know what's the criteria. And anyway, the man seems like a nut, to be honest, but he gets away with being a nut. But being exposed, that, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had told us many years ago, they're as dumb as the ones that they're leading. But we saw them as superior because they brought us through physical force. And so how do you get that mindset to stop having our people worshiping them? This everything has to be done through the ballot. You know, when we know that they don't respect even President Obama. They call him a liar,
That's right.
And no matter how much of his rating approval is, he's still disrespected.
Yes, sir.
You know? So, I mean, you just keep fighting, of course, because you know you can't do anything else but to fight. But do you want to hear the people dance a little bit more, you know?
Well, you know, Brother Muneer, we're at a time now when people are making an informed choice. Due primarily to the work of Minister Farrakhan over a half century, the word has gone around the globe. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
The same social media platform that allowed the minister to communicate with our youth and our people has also allowed him, has allowed this program and other sources of truth to be known worldwide.
Right.
And so there is that biblical verse that people love to quote, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But then we stop there, and we don't go to the next sentence, which he says to the people, because you have rejected knowledge,
yes, right.
I also shall reject you. And sadly, many of our people are simply choosing to go down with the Titanic. They are choosing to remain with Pharaoh, for the Holy Quran talks about the temporal things of this life. You seek not the hereafter. You seek sport and play.
Right.
And having been immersed in that for so many years, even confronted with truth, there are our people who don't want to come. Now, there's one last duty that we do have to fulfill, and the minister is fulfilling that, in his call to make our own community safe and decent places to live. We have to show our people a model of what life looks like when the righteous live together. Because I heard the minister say recently, this issue now is less about color and more about righteousness.
Yeah,
I don't want to live with you just because you and I both have melanin.
Right.
If you are a savage, and if you're a predator, and you're a danger to my daughters and my grandson, I don't want to live with you. You're entitled to be enlightened, but you are being enlightened, you see.
Right.
And so now, those who desire to live a righteous life, those who desire to do God's will have to come together. And as I've heard you and the minister say, both of you in your interviews with him, you talk with each other.
Right.
You identify, okay, this is an area,
right,
perhaps,
right,
where we may have a disagreement, but in the larger scheme, right, of things, you know, we recognize genocide.
That's right. That's right.
Is occurring. We recognize the need. We both love this man,
right,
Elijah Muhammad, and we want to see our people saved,
that's right,
from the judgment of America. America is deserving of the judgment she's receiving.
We're going to take these calls. I'm glad you mentioned that, because it makes me so happy to know that this man's work for so long, he's endured.
Yes,
see, just to know what he has gone through and still standing tall.
That's
you
right.
know, I mean, it's really remarkable. And
that's
see,
right.
sometimes, you know, and I want people to understand, as you say, you came in New York City.
Yes,
but
sir.
You heard a man. You might not have been there when we were there, but you
correct.
Saw the work and evidence of what this man has done.
That's
and
right.
you see 60 years is a long time to
a
be
long
doing
time.
Anything.
Right.
You know? So anyway, let's
in
take a
mission.
Call.
Yes,
all right.
sir.
Caller, you'll be there with our sister.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Muneer. This is Brother Minister Wasim Muhammad in
what?
Camden, New Jersey, although I'm in Hawaii. I don't really have a question. I have a word of encouragement to thank your guest, Dr. Ava Muhammad, for her years of service and dedication to the Nation of Islam and of course, to our national representative. And we appreciate the show. I'm appreciating you, and we always love to watch and hear from Carl.
You know, I must be doing something right. I got a guy to call for my wife.
That's awesome to take time from that beautiful environment.
Very good.
Thank you,
Thank
sir.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Okay, do we have another caller? Caller?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam.
From Hawaii to two blocks away. I just want y'all to know I'm really enjoying the show. I echo brother's sentiments about the longevity of Sister Ava and you too, Brother Munir Muhammad.
Thank you.
Y'all just giants in what y'all do, and I appreciate y'all presence. And a show like this and what y'all talking about, it shouldn't be interrupted. You know, I just think that y'all got such great flow here, and you're talking about the teachings of Elijah Muhammad. So I'm going to be satisfied by sitting back and listening to more from you two wonderful brothers and sisters.
And remember now, you're going to be able to hear our sister continue this conversation at 4 o'clock today on WBON. You know, and I want to say the importance of black media. I can't say enough about it because, see, we have to change the conversation. You know, I went out to where it really wasn't a fair. Where the group of Shriners was having an outing.
Yes, sir.
And I thought I know a lot of people, and I do. They speak to you. But many faces I didn't recognize. But I was just looking at so many black men, women, and children, you know.
Yes, sir.
And there's so much to do. And I'm working with a group that has a block club because I told you that I want 100 black men minimum to see the interview with Herb Kupcinet and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yes,
so I'm begging people, and I was going to do it on the 13th, but I want to do it now on the 20th because the Bud Billiken Parade, I want to give them something that's been in place, and I don't want to do this emotionally, but I got with a young lady who's in her early 70s, who's the president of her block club.
Yes, sir.
And I told her, I said, if the messenger was here, I would get a medal for fishing. She brought me 7 guests with her, and she told me she'll fill up the place herself with people. And she had never really heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching, but we had something else in common. And sister, I was told by, and this is what my conversation with the minister has been about, he started in 1979 on one tape he did. He said, no one will destroy the reminder. I believed him then, and I believe him now.
Yes, sir.
And I'm saying that such a magnificent job is being done. We just have to reach our people, just as you know, when he went over to help Reverend Jackson, he began to teach in the church. That's why you can talk about scripture now. You got more Christians able to quote, you know, about Muslims, what we think and what we believe, all because of him, that many of us have been fearful about making that transition. That's what Brother Abdul Sharif has done greatly, Brother Robert in Houston.
Yes,
you know, anywhere, as you mentioned, the local organizing committed. I'm just proud of these brothers and sisters that I've known for a lot of years.
Yes,
I've known Minister Robert. I've known Student Minister Tony Muhammad for years and years. And I'm seeing the value of our working together. You know, I've had Minister Ishmael here.
Yes, sir.
And we have to work together to get our people because it is a big job. And even though the minister says he's not going to be here forever, but I tell him, yes, he is, you know. So I'm just having a great time in my life now because it reminds me of the eagerness that you had to go tell somebody about this
great
work that's being done.
Yes,
so I think we have another caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum to you and Sister Minister Ava.
Waalaikumsalam, sir.
Sister Ava, I just had a question. I'm calling from the South. I never got a chance to ask you, how did your family feel about you being an attorney and leaving that work, basically, and following the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad?
Yes, sir.
Where you calling from, sir?
I'm calling from Macon.
Macon, Georgia. Good.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for that question. I'm very blessed, Brother Munir, having been reared by a father and mother who were very conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grew up in a house reading biographies of black people. Someone for my 16th birthday gave me the autobiography of Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm.
But everything from George Washington Carver to Booker T. Washington, Ida B. Wells. And when I fell ill, my father had already succumbed to lung cancer
mm-hmm.
in 1973. And my mother and I were both diagnosed with breast cancer at the same time in 1980. And when I heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, there was a poster on a wall leading to a subway in Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
And I was attending the Methodist Church seeking some spiritual guidance
mm-hmm.
For what I had been diagnosed with. And when I saw that poster, I saw that name Farrakhan, and I thought about the nation, because I had wondered, where did the nation go?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to it? Because when I was in college, I remember the FOI being on the campuses selling Muhammad Speaks, and all that to say briefly that when I went out and heard the minister one time, I accepted as true everything he said. And my family, thanks to Allah, was very happy.
Mm-hmm.
They were happy for me
mm-hmm.
That I had found the truth. And to this day, though my sisters attend the church, they adore Minister Farrakhan. They adore the teachings. And in all honesty, the big impediment to our people is the discipline.
Yeah, that's it.
Required
that's right.
To register in
but
the
But he breaks
discipline.
All of that down.
He does, yes,
you
he
You know,
does.
I've been in environments with this man that...
He's incredible.
They've learned more. I remember being in Phoenix, and there were a couple of sisters that was there, and he was teaching, and there was just a dinner table conversation.
Yes.
But they learned more about the church and their spiritual basis.
That's exactly right.
Because this guy understands all of this. I've never seen a person more patient and being able to explain the book the way the minister does.
Well, it is his profound love for our people. And I've said to the minister, I was not a student of scripture
mm-hmm.
at any time in my life.
Yeah.
And I grew up in the church, but I never knew the Bible and its content until I came into the Nation of Islam
under
his direction. Mm-hmm. And he opened up that book for me and made it have meaning. And you're right, that's what he does.
But you know what he would say, that because that's what he did, he studied. But you know, in the guide to understanding the Bible and the Holy Quran, see, I can go back and read something and go to a page and say, yeah, that makes sense. But this man, you ask him a question, it's almost as if I'm happy you asked that question. And he goes right into it. And sometimes you find yourself having to stumble into answering something, but this guy, I'm just pleased. But the main thing, he's been able to convey it to others.
Yes.
And when you have the ability to reproduce yourself in others, that's the workings of God, you know?
Well, if I may say this, you know, when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stood up to rebuild the nation, what he was facing was not just the loss of physical assets, buildings and bank accounts and things, but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad being stripped of his messengership.
That's right.
And when we look at the minister's life, though I was not around at that time, but I can look back now and appreciate it.
You were a history major.
As we are, exactly.
Yeah.
I think the minister's profound, indescribable love for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his appreciation of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's work to free black people has made him so open to receive revelation.
Right.
You know, because we learn from Maulana Muhammad Ali's books
mm-hmm.
and we learn studying the Quran directly, the direct revelation of Allah. Allah's revelation supports reasoning, and it supports a desire in that human being to whom he's revealing his word to help people. And if we look at the lives of the prophets and messengers of Allah, these were men and women who prior to receiving revelation were in service in some form or another. And I've been with Minister Farrakhan for nearly 35 years, so I've witnessed him walk this walk. It's, he doesn't just talk the talk. And that's what gives such depth to his word when he gives it. And I see people instantly when he comes in a room, and you've been there. You know, his presence. And you and I are not cult followers. But we know when you're around this man, you go away from him rejuvenated.
I've never had a meeting with this man and didn't leave rejuvenated. I mean, it was
never.
Always, I don't care how down I was.
That's right.
You know, the main thing I'm concerned, I just don't want him to be down. And this guy is going to give you something that give you something to think about.
That's right.
I remember the imam said one time, and this was during our kind of turbulent days, but he was trying to be critical in one sense, and he ended up, he said, in the minister, he just got sold. It's just something about him, you know what I mean?
Amazing.
So, caller, you're on the air with our sister. Are you there, caller?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Munir.
Wa alaikum salam, sis.
And assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
I want to, I'm hearing you say you're a cancer survivor, and I want to applaud you because you look very well.
Thank you, ma'am.
My question to you is that I understand that in your position that you are the first to hold such a position as a female. And if you could tell me that your doctor of law position, how does that prepare you for what you do? What are your daily activities? And also, Hillary Clinton was obviously just nominated for the Democratic presidency. And by you being the first, is that any impact on you? Or is that something that we shouldn't even really care about? Thank you.
Well, thank you for that. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught, and Minister Farrakhan has acted upon that teaching that a nation can rise no higher than its woman.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll notice that the phrase doesn't say a black nation can rise no higher than its woman. It says a nation.
Right.
And so any and every nation is measured by the level of dignity and respect that is afforded to the woman, but is demonstrated by the woman. And while I, I appreciate having a degree from this world, as it were, we learn much from this world. But in truth, it has really nothing to do with the position that I occupy at this point. I think that as a spokesperson is someone who communicates the position of the person and or entity that spokesperson represents.
Right.
Minister Farrakhan is the national representative. That position is one where you exemplify that as opposed to simply communicate it, exemplify it or not. And I have good communication skills, but I attribute those more to my parents and my upbringing than I do to the law degree, because I would have had these communication skills anyway.
I just admire the way you say it, because I've always wanted my children to be able to communicate, and I just love that, because I'm from the South, and so if I talk to you long enough, if I don't start cussing, you'll end up hearing my lack of communicative skills. So I just love it when you can convey that message. And I have to say this to you. You have done this well. Your patience, you know, the way that you answer a question, you can tell that you listen attentively to the minister. Because I wish that was a trait that I had. I enjoy talking with him so much. But, you know, patience is something. But, I admire anybody that learns it well, you know, and
yes,
you do a great job.
Well,
you do a great job. You've always done a great
job.
Thank
you so much. I'll pray.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Munir.
Walaikum salam.
Walaikum salam.
Mr. Ava, I want to, first of all, thank you, Brother Munir, for always having very upbeat shows. And,
yes, sir.
And also, I'm just, you know, Brother Munir, I was in the southern region when Dr. Muhammad first came and was at Melanston. We are always inspired by you. And I won't say we miss you, but we appreciate your presence and we appreciate you inspiring us in the South. I'm called from Alabama, Brother Clarence Muhammad. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask this question to Dr. Ava as well as you, Brother Munir. I think both of you can answer it well. In this date, I think the black woman is under attack through the clothes, through the culture and the society,
yes,
and sexuality.
Yes.
How relevant is it, the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in the reformation process of the black?
That's a very good question.
Yes.
And then I know you can answer.
Oh, it is absolutely our salvation.
Yes.
And, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad warned the black man in Message to the Black Man.
Yes.
That no matter what else you achieve,
yes,
in this world in terms of income, education, etc., as long as you do not respect and protect your woman, you'll be made a mockery.
Yeah.
The woman, I don't know of any body of knowledge or teachings that elevate the female in the way that the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad do, and that actually go down into the root of the origin of the black woman from the mind of the self-created God himself.
Mm.
Minister Farrakhan recently said to the brothers, stop using the term, and women as well, goddess,
mm-hmm,
when you refer to the female. She is a god,
yeah,
brother.
Yes.
Just like you, she is the second self.
Yes, sir.
And it is from his own mind and his search, you know, for means to reproduce himself that,
yeah,
the self-created God created the female. And so I think the caller is exactly right. The culture of our slave master's children and the handling of his own woman, or
yeah,
the mishandling of her, we are emulating that. And that's why I'm so happy you're going to show the interview of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad with Irving Kupcinet.
Right.
I showed a clip of that interview in a lecture last year. It is a must-see.
It is
a must-see. The way he handles him, and the way Irving Kupcinet, who is like the quintessence of the white male,
right,
mind,
mm-hmm,
and he wonders out loud, you know, to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, the Negro is making progress,
yeah,
you know, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, why would I want to be a prominent servant in another man's house rather than have my own house?
You know, you make such a good point, and so you handled my argument. Now, the Irv Kupcinet interviewed the imam, and he interviewed Brother Minister Farrakhan. Now, Minister Farrakhan beat him like a drum,
yes,
but he was so disrespectful. But the minister, the way he handled him, it was just superb.
It certainly was.
But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad ended up thanking Kupcinet. He said, for such fine questions. Because Cobb knew he had ran into somebody that you got to be careful how you talk to him. He showed the utmost respect. And I just think it would help our young people to see it, sister, in conjunction. I'd like to see 1,000 people to see it.
Yes,
so
sir.
Many of us take these things for granted, and they don't realize. See, when I talk to this man, all I hear is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's why I'm so privilege, and I tell people, see, I don't take it for granted, because when I talk to him, I didn't get a chance to walk with the messenger, you know, and sometimes it really moves me that people don't understand when God give you something and you don't know how to handle it. So I don't ever want to take this for granted,
yes,
the blessings that I have, you know, and it's just great. It's great to have you here. Caller, you're on the air. Are you there, caller?
Yes, sir, Brother Munir. This is Rita Gale. I'm calling from London, England.
Rita Gale, I'm so happy that you called. I can't think of a finer person to call. Rita is what we call our BBC correspondent.
Oh, awesome.
She interviewed us 20-some years ago, and she's been a friend ever since, and she comes. Yeah, in fact, she'll be in a few weeks. I'll make sure you meet her. Thank you so much. Go ahead. You have a question or comment for Sister?
Well, I just want to say good afternoon to Dr. Ava Mohammed.
Thank you.
And just to say I'm very much enjoying the show, and I wanted to really ask you about how in this day and age the law of America is still being used as a tool to enslave black Americans. And can that law be turned now to aid black Americans, particularly in the context that as Americans you have constitution in a way that we don't have here in the United Kingdom?
That's an excellent point. Yes, and in fact, as we speak, there's been a lawsuit filed by a man in Dallas, Texas. By the name of Klayman, naming President Obama, Al Sharpton, Eric Holder, various leaders of Black Lives Matter, and of course the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and charging them with inciting violence, specifically in the shootings of the Dallas police. And we're handling that suit now, a cadre of lawyers in the Nation of Islam. But the point I want to make to the sister's issue is so, her question is so on time, because if you go to the Muslim program, what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has there, and the minister continues to print in the final call, and that is still ultimately going to have to happen.
That's right.
Where the Muslim program must be put before Congress. And what the sister just raised on the issue of U.S. laws, the U.S. Constitution, the amendments, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, have never been enforced, Brother Munir. Even the 13th Amendment, because if you study constitutional law in depth, poverty is illegal. Poverty is against the law. If this government is truly governed by a U.S. Constitution and the provisions that it contains. And so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, though he's coming from a higher level, from God's law, the Caucasian's law, one of the best things they have produced is a U.S. Constitution. If the U.S. Constitution were enforced, it would be the closest thing they could do to comply with God's law. And so he starts with the three main things that we must have, that we want: freedom, justice, and equality. The minister has taught in depth on those things, as has the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Without those three things, you can't even fully be a human being and exert and fulfill your human potential. And it's so serious that number four of what the Muslims want comes in the absence of being able to attain those three things in America: freedom, justice, and equality. If you are black, particularly if you are black, young, and male, but you can be any age, either gender, but particularly a young black man, you don't have freedom of mobility in this country. You can't move about. Sandra Bland was driving to her new job. She did everything right, didn't she? She got educated. She got employment. She was pulled over for allegedly changing lanes. Though a white deputy sheriff in Texas said, "We never pull over people for changing lanes unless we were already following them, and then we'll use a traffic," when they're following someone, they want to stop, they will use a traffic violation or alleged one. And so because Sandra Bland questioned, as she had every right to do, how dare you, she lost her life as a consequence of it.
Let me ask you, we're running out of time, and that's why we normally, see, a person of your caliber, we have to think in terms of additional time, but you have things to do.
Yes, sir.
But I wanted to ask you this, because we spoke briefly about education. You are a college graduate and a history major at that. Have you wondered why all of our professors and educated people still talk about our coming here in 1619 as opposed to 1555. I mean, we know the history.
That's
but
right.
You think by now that they would know the history. They even made mockery of us, you know, with the $64,000 question.
That's right.
All this time it took us to be a Negro. But are you surprised that many of our educated people who think in terms of themselves as enlightened?
No, I'm not surprised, because once you lock in to your slave master and take him as a god, then even when truth finds the lie,
yeah,
and exposes it, you continue to follow the lie. There are, I'm so glad you brought it up. I just read a book that a Native American sister gave me in San Diego called The Black Indian, yeah, all right? And it gives the timeline of Christopher Columbus and other explorers that preceded him. And when you look at the activity that was taking place on this continent, even in the late 1400s,
yeah,
then you know that 1555 is the year. Jamestown,
yeah,
is cited in 1619, but that was the first sustained white settlement.
Right.
And that is why they mark 1619. But look at this. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad also taught us that the moon was once what?
Part
of the
earth. Right.
He was mocked and vilified.
Right.
He said one of our scientists set off an explosion.
Right.
He was mocked and vilified. Well, all the way up until the 2000s, he was mocked, and the minister mocked, and all of us in the nation. And then lo and behold, here comes the Johnny-come-lately European. Oh, guess what we found?
Yeah, yeah.
The earth, the moon used to be part of the earth.
Right.
Then in the last few years, it was some catastrophic explosion,
right,
that caused it. So as the minister has said, the truth, no matter what lie you tell,
that's right,
the truth will find the lie and expose it.
It has been great in having you. I'll tell the people. Do you have any books out? Anything?
Oh, I mean, thank you for
yeah,
that.
Please.
I have. You can go to ministerava.com and find my books. Real Love, New Unit of Measurement, Naturally Beautiful.
We have Real Love here with us. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
All
always. That's right. He's been my friend for a long time. So, sister, I can't say enough about having you here. I know this is not going to be the only time. As people may not know, I interviewed you many, many years ago, and we were coming up to the Million Man March during that time. I've always thought of you as being articulate and able to convey a message. And I'm glad that you handle that so well when you think about, see, you have root knowledge. So, I mean, the law is one thing. You know, I told the people I wanted to be an attorney myself.
Thank
I just didn't have the patience. But I can entertain them. That's what I try to tell them.
Well, I just heard the minister Friday. I'll talk on it another time. The minister broke down that verse in response to a question from one of our lawyers when Jesus said, woe to the doctors of law.
Yeah, yeah, the monks and all that.
Okay,
that.
The scribes,
yes,
et cetera. Yes, but thank you. You and your beautiful crew here. This is a wonderful place to be.
Thank you so much for coming. Okay. All right,
my
dear brothers and sisters, reluctantly we have to let our sister go, but I want to thank you. Remember, you can see, listen to her streaming all over the world, 1690.
Yes, download the iHeart app
on
your phone or your tablet, and you can get WVON.
Very good.
4 Central every Sunday.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brother.
My dear brothers and sisters, for watching. The May Allah bless you with the light of understanding. As I greet you in peace, Assalam alaikum.
Thank you again. And that was, we were listening to our dear sister, one of the ministers, top beautiful student minister, Sister Ava Muhammad. She's a beautiful, beautiful sister who's an inspiration to all women, regardless of color, creed, class, etc. I would advise everyone, every woman who wants to be elevated, wants wisdom, want to be the best woman that you can be to definitely listen to her election. And I have some of her books that are very beautiful, they're great, they motivate me. I just love her, and I hope to have her on the show soon. So with that, I have a matter that I must take care of. But I hope that you all have enjoyed the program tonight. If you have any questions, you can submit those, and we will definitely strive to answer those sometime next week. So with that, peace and love to everyone. Assalamu alaikum. And until the next time, this is Sister Pamela K. Muhammad. Thank you.
There's a mirror.